Hello and welcome to this podcast from the Business Marketing Club, or BMC. I'm Dave Stevens, I'm a business marketer and I'm chair and co-founder of the BMC. The Business Marketing Club is a not-for-profit community network of business marketing professionals and people interested in business marketing. It's run by business marketers for business marketers, and we provide face-to-face and virtual event meetups, training, podcasts, blogs, newsletters, mentoring, social media groups, community groups, and gatherings for business marketers. Today, we have almost 5,000 participants across the world. If, though, this is the first time you've joined us, you're very welcome. Check us out at businessmarketingclub.org.uk. If you've been with us before, well, welcome back. It's good to have you along again. Professional services marketing is all about selling people, relationships, organizational value, and culture. And so marketers spend lots of time trying to bottle these elements into a message for clients. However, over in HR land, they're trying to bottle those self-same elements in order to create an employee value proposition for the board. So there's a danger that two messaging frameworks are developed in isolation and thought. So which one should predominate? Here to discuss that is Marketing Director of TTP, Hayley Brooksbank. Hayley, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you very much, Dave. Delighted to be here. How are you?
I'm really well, thank you. We're recording this on a Friday afternoon and the sun is shining and so all is well with the world. But you've picked on a really tricksy issue, which is well worth our talking about. So before we dive in, tell us a bit about TTP.
So TTP is a really interesting organization because it's a science and engineering and designing firm. But it's actually a professional services. We sell our time for fee. So it's a true professional service, but we're actually engineers.
Okay.
And we work with clients to unlock commercial opportunities through technology. So everything we do touches technology. And we work with big corporates, we work with startups, and we basically help organizations guide projects through to delivery, working with their R&D teams to make products, but on behalf of clients. It's quite an unusual and interesting model.
Okay. And that means actually, I think you're uniquely placed to be able to help us with this challenge. And I've said it's a challenge and I've said it's a tricksy issue, but we probably should start off with, well why, you know? So if we've got this danger of these two messaging frameworks, why is it an issue?
Well, I've been working in professional services in one shape or another for pretty much my whole career, which is terrifying me, probably over 25 years now. And so I've seen this issue come about in many shapes and forms through the different organizations I've worked with. And TTP is a very different type of firm for me. I've just recently come from two of the bigger law firms, Osborne Clark and Bird & Bird was my last two organizations. So I've just come from law firms into this quite different consulting setup. Mm-hmm. But the same issues are there. The same typical issues that I've come across time and time again are there. And it's an area that really fascinates me because I'm a really strong believer in brand strategy. And I focus very strongly on how to build an organization's awareness and marketing positioning through brand strategy. Mm-hmm. And when I'm doing that, I'm looking at the sort of approach that we have, the personality of the brand, the feeling of the brand, the authenticity of the brand. And lo and behold, I start bumping into culture. And then I go across the corridor and talk to HR, and they're also looking at culture, but from a completely different perspective. So it's a really interesting topic, I think, to see where these two things collide in the realms of marketing versus HR, or not marketing versus HR, I say marketing with HR.
So, but I guess you don't have to build your professional services brand around culture, do you?
Well, I think in lots of ways you do, because a professional services brand fundamentally is about selling capabilities and people. And the thing that's going to differentiate you against your competitors is often culture. And because you don't want it to be price, let's face it, we're all looking for the reason to differentiate ourselves beyond price. I've seen many organizations rely on their culture and their people as being the differentiating factor. So obviously you're going to have your case studies and your track record, and you're going to have the star players that are going to attract clients to you. But because you want it to be much more organizational wide, you start saying, well, we're different because this is the way we approach the world. This is what we bring to the story. And I found that over the last few years, clients are getting more and more interested in this. And clients are starting to ask very direct questions. Tell us about your values. Tell us about your culture. Tell us about what it's like to work with you. And so we're having to talk about our culture in a very upfront way. And it is really about the brand. So the model I've always used is brand personality. And you really start talking about personality traits. What is this brand? Is this brand approachable? Is it likable? Is it curious? Is it dynamic? You start talking about the brand and you very quickly start describing the culture.
Okay, so you have to, or you think it's a recommendation for professional services brands to focus around culture, and you have HR going off with their EVP. So it's as simple as this, isn't it? Which we just decide which department's messaging framework should take primacy.
Well, obviously, marketing always takes.
Obviously, case closed. Well, Hayley Brooks Bank, it's been really nice.
I think you've got to go to the boardroom and you've got to ask, you know, if your CMO and your CPO are both reporting into the CEO, and what's the CEO asking them to do? And the CMO will be told, go out and build awareness around our organization and make us number one, or lift us up and get out there and get market presence. And the CPO will be told, you know, one of the key things we've got to differentiate on is we've got to attract the right talent. We've got to retain the right talent. We've got to get performance working through the business. We know we want a diverse business because more diverse organizations are more effective and innovative organizations. And that's, you know, that's a really important for us to be moving on those metrics. And we've got to make sure we're performing at our absolute best. What's the old adage, you know, culture eats strategy for breakfast? You know, sort of the idea is that most CEOs will be challenging their CPOs with get the culture right, because it's desperately important for the performance of our business. So they will be across the hall from marketing, working out what the culture is, understanding the culture, doing lots of research into the culture. What drives performance? What are the high performers in our business do? How do they act? How do they behave? How do we bottle it? How do we encourage it? How do we make sure that we are allowing everybody to be their very best person at work and bringing their full selves to work? How do we reduce bullying? All of those things will be happening, and they'll be developing that EVP. And their objective will be to develop a competency framework to help judge people and performance by. And that competency framework will be based on behaviors and values. And here we are back into culture. Whereas over the other side, the marketing team are developing external messaging about how we're going to position our organization out in the big wide world, talking about how fantastic we are. And one would hope they are talking the same language, because one would hope they're both telling the truth. And if they're both telling the truth, then surely it should beautifully align.
What could possibly go wrong?
And I think in a lot of cases, it does align. It does align. The difficulty is that the language is slightly different, or the language is confusing, and you end up having brand values, and you end up having organizational values. And, you know, where does it sit? How do you go forward with this? I think I was looking at Eversheds. I'm not sure if they still do. I should check again. But Eversheds webpage, their homepage, used to have their values right on the front, right there. Values, bang, bang, bang. These are our values on the homepage. You know, and I would think, well, why are they there? Are they there for clients? Are they there for talent? Are they there for both? Yeah. I suspect they're there for both. But who developed them? Because when I looked at them, I thought, these are not marketing messages. These are culture messages. And I think so many organizations have a slide that goes in the presentation, or a page that goes into the pitch template that just says, and our values are, and they whack them on there, they put them down. They're sitting there because they've come from somewhere in the bowels of the organization many years ago, and no one actually looked at them and goes, do these really truly tell us about our marketing messages, and does it really truly reflect the organization we want to be? And I think they're not always looked at in the round. They get written and written and left. That's what they get.
So how can this issue be resolved, do you think?
Well, I think it's really important to start, as I've said, a professional services brand to me, I think, is best done when it's developed as a culture-led brand. And the many, many years ago, when I was working in branding consultancies, and I was working with some pretty brilliant strategists who I still admire to this day, and they moved away from mission and vision. I never produce a mission or a vision in any of my brand strategies. And they also moved away from values. And one of the reasons they moved away from values is because they said, we don't want to have an organization where everybody has the same values, because we want a diverse organization. Yeah. So why would we want everybody to have exactly the same values? And also, your values are set by the age of 7. So you're going to get people who are sort of, you know, stuck in a certain way of behaving, or certainly if you really focus on values. And also, why should you adopt an organizational's values when you come to work? What does it really mean? Mm-hmm. So they moved into personality and they moved into behaviors. Mm-hmm. As a way of saying, actually, this is much more flexible. We can say that what is the personality of this brand? And I like personality because if you're a barbecue, you're going to show one side of your, if Saturday afternoon, you're going to show one side of your personality. If you're presenting to the boardroom, you're going to show another side of your personality. If you're going into teacher parents meeting, you're going to show another side of your personality. But you've all got the same personality. You've always got the same personality, but you're flexing it. You're showing different bits of it for different audience groups. And I think that's what a brand can do. A brand personality can flex like that. So I would say the way to solve it is go for a culture-led brand. It's the right thing to do with professional services, because ultimately you are differentiating on your culture as well as obviously many other messages, but it's a really important side of it. Go for something that's based on personality and not values. Go for something which has a core purpose. And there are different types of core purposes. You can look up these models. There are different, but I tend to follow Simon Sinek's on purpose. Go for a purpose which is the beating heart of why everybody goes to that organization. Why does everybody come to work? Why are they there? What really makes them and unites them, whether they're the receptionist or they're the CEO, whether they're in the accounts team or whether they're a fee earner, what actually unites them? And if you have a personality brand with a core purpose, it really sits and sings to that organizational culture. And then go and talk to HR and say, we want this personality to be the basis of your EVP. We know you're technical. We know you've got really, really important stuff about competency frameworks, which we don't fully understand. So we just want to work with you and have a translation of this core purpose and this personality into the competency framework, into the EVP. Hmm. And do it that way. I think it's much more successful when the brand goes first, because it's the underpinning piece. Hmm. But I think don't finish your brand and as a marketeer and think you finished the job. You haven't. You have to go and take HR on the journey with you. And when you're developing your brand, just make sure they're not at the exact same time developing an EVP, because you will just clash. You'll go head on and then you'll have this. So make sure you're working in alignment. Make sure HR and marketing are talking about culture and finding a common language to use it as for the organization's benefit.
And if there are professional services, I was actually thinking this probably applies as much to service marketing more generally as just professional services. But if there's a service marketer who is listening to this and buys the argument, what are the first steps that you would advise them to take?
From a service perspective, I think, you know, every service brand has to ask the question, you know, what problem are we solving? What client pain are we solving? And what is it that we're trying to do here? And what's the messaging we're going to build up around that? So I would say, from that first point of, OK, what's the problem we're solving? How do we do that? look at across, understand the organization, interview people, what makes us different, what messaging makes our clients sit forward in their chair, how do we differentiate ourselves from our competitors, and listen for those messages that actually start to talk to the organization. And people will do it very naturally. We do this, we do that, we do this. They'll talk about themselves, the way they behave, the way we deliver for clients, the way we react to clients, how spontaneous we are, how reactive we are, how innovative they are. They'll start using language, pull all of that into a personality, and then sit down and go, right, what is this? What does this boil down to as a personality? Shape your culture brand. Think about how that comes down, crystallizes again to your core purpose. And then, as I've said probably six times already, go and talk to HR. Go and say, hey, guess what? We've got this culture. It's fantastic. It's going to be the center to all of our marketing campaigns. We're going to be pushing out this personality, and we want it to be understood. And we want to make sure that it's built into the core professional capabilities and performance of this organization. And we know that's the technical stuff you do. And we wouldn't presume that we can do it on your behalf, and we want to start working with you.
So Hayley, can you give us an example of where you've seen this in action?
Well, I suppose my most recent example was where, not at TTP, where I've only been a few months, but previous to that, I was at Bird & Bird, the international law firm, and we did a fantastic launch of a brand that I'm extremely proud of. I arrived, I realised there wasn't a brand strategy. I said, we really need to do this. And we developed a brand strategy, and it was through all of the classic things, interviewing people, getting to know everybody, all done through lockdown. So it was quite scary having to interview, find out this brand all through that sort of lens of a Zoom call. But we did all these, I did all the calls, and I came back and I said, you know, and we developed a brand personality, which was curious, bright, practical, and likable. And curious was because that's what Bird & Bird really did. They really looked around problems. They looked into problems. They were interested in things about the world around them and about the problems, and they pushed it further. And one of the key phrases that I had for the brand was, all law firms see risk. That's what law firms do. All law firms see risk. Bird & Bird understands risk and sees opportunity. So this idea that they were curious about the world around them, that they were bright people, they were, you know, clever people. They saw that opportunity. They saw that. People said, sometimes we just make the leap. Sometimes it's more art than science, just finding that solution. Practical was because they really, truly helped their clients, and they got into that and they helped the clients. And then likable was because Bird & Bird inherently sees themselves as likable. So I didn't have that in there. They just see them. But we're nice people. We're nice lawyers. So that was really important for them to see it themselves. So curious, bright, practical, and likable. And that was our brand personality. And the core purpose I came up with was, you know, talking to everybody, whether it was the business analysts or whether it was the finance team or it was HR, marketing, or the fee earners. The one thing that really united people is they wanted to make it possible. They wanted to solve the problem and make it possible. Make it possible for the firm, make it possible for the clients, make it possible for their people, whether it's in D&I or whatever. They wanted to make it possible. So that was our core purpose, to make it possible. So we had this fantastic personality, and that drove our visual style. It drove our new website. It drove our new color palette, and it did all this great stuff. And then we said, right, now we need to talk to HR. Now we need to do the EVP. And I had been talking to them all the way through, saying, I'm going to come and talk to you about EVP soon. I'm going to come and talk. We need to do EVP. And I've been laying the groundwork. And in the end, we got that window where we had some time and we had some capacity in the HR team, and we had a little budget behind us. And also they were seeing that the performance of the firm was suddenly absolutely critical. How do we make sure that our people are performing at their absolute best? That really matters. And I said, I think it's through the personality and the culture. I think it's, we really need to elevate this culture into something. So I went on my long story about don't do values, don't do vision, don't do mission, do personality, do behaviors, do core purpose. And the project that's actually happened and led from that, that I think is going to work really, really well for them, is they're turning it into, from to make it possible, into a world of possible. And where that goes for them, I think, is really exciting. And they're in development. It's not come out yet. They're gonna, I'm sure, launch a fantastic EVP in the next 6 to 12 months. But that idea of translating it to, what does this mean to our people, both attracting talent, retaining talent, and driving a culture, it's a simple change, but it's a change that allows HR to sing from the same hymn sheet as marketing. And the other thing I'm going to say as well is, I always say, you know, most professional services firms are fairly well established in their markets. Most people know what they do. They're not a new brand. They're not something that's going in and breaking a new market and having to describe themselves. So I always say to people, it's much more mature to be a deduced brand and not a declared brand. Allow people to deduce who you are because of the messages you're telling them. Don't tell them who you are. I don't walk in to a party or a corporate event with a name badge that says fairly direct, extrovert and excitable. I walk in with a name badge that says Hayley Brooks Bank, and I let people find out those things by talking to me.
That's great advice. So fairly direct, excitable, marketing director of TTB, Hayley Brooks Bank. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
And that's all for this episode of the Business Marketing Club podcast. Thanks to my guest, Hayley Brooks Bank, and thanks to our technical person, Alicia Gratian. Thanks to you for listening. Do rate or review us if you can, and email me at davestevensnow@gmail.com if you'd like to be a speaker or offer feedback. There's more where this came from. Just go to businessmarketingclub.org.uk. Bye for now.